If through the trials you send, your glory may be seen, then, dear Lord, please give me strength and grace to rise anew.
You are the potter and I am the clay. Mold me and make me in your own way.
Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning on this fine Sunday morning, and looking forward to what the Lord has for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as I pray that you will pray. Ask God, give God permission to speak to your heart, and tell him that you will deal with whatever he speaks to you about. I know he has something for all of us today from his word. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you and so thankful that you love us and promised us your love and demonstrated your love to us. And God, I pray that you might meet with us this morning in this place. God, thank you for our church and for placing it here over 67 years ago to shine forth the light of the gospel. And God, I pray that you might be with everything that is said and done in this place, and it might bring honor and glory to your name. God, I pray that you might warm the cold-hearted and save the lost and encourage the faithful. And God, that you might help us to walk out of this place different than as we'd walk in. Bless our service today in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 140. Well, your anchor, we have an anchor. We'll sing all three verses.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure as the billows roll. fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored, will the storm withstand, for it is well secured by the Savior's hand. Though the tempest rage and the wild winds blow, not an angry wave shall our bark o'erflow. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure where the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. On the last, when our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast and leave shore. Storms all pass forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Thank you. You may be seated. Turn back a few pages to page 127. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 of this one this morning. Page 127.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Welcome to Bethel Baptist Church this Sunday morning time, this Wednesday, September the 3rd. Bible preaching and prayer here in the house of God starting at 7. Also, we'll be kicking off the Kids Patch the Pirate Club that will also be starting this Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Saturday, September the 16th, will be bus visitation and church-wide Operation Saturation Soul Winning. Monday, September the 18th, will be the first ladies' meeting of the fall here at the church. That'll be at 6:30 p.m. on that Monday, September the 18th. September the 22nd and the 23rd will be the Baptist Men's Recharge in Augusta, Kansas. There is a sign-up sheet still on the back for that. The cost is $65. So if you want to go to that, the cost is $65 for those days. Sunday, October the 1st, Roundup Sunday, and a Monday night revival with Brother Matt Miller. As pastors mentioned in the past, they have two new Schofield Bibles to give away to the people who bring new visitors who bring visitors, pretty much. Visitor defined by someone who hasn't been here in the last month or so. So just make sure whoever brings the most people will get one of those new Bibles to give out. For again, that is October the 1st for the Roundup Sunday. October the 6th and the 7th will be a 2023 Ladies Retreat at Heritage Baptist Church in Lawrence, Kansas. The cost for that is $25 plus motel. So you got to figure up that hotel cost based on how many are going. So if you're wanting to go to that, sign up to go to that as well. Monday, October the 16th, be Senior Saints at the church at noon. And then October is Missions Month. So just the entire month of October, we'll be having multiple missionaries coming through and so forth as that. So be prepared for that. And I believe that's all the announcements that we have. Let's all stand. We'll have a time of shaking hands, and then we'll take the offering.
Find your place this morning, and we will receive the offering. Appreciate you being in the Lord's house today. Looking forward to the day, and I'm excited about October. The first three Sundays in October, we'll have a different missionary each Sunday. And the first Sunday is Roundup Sunday. Looking so forward to that. Hope you'll round somebody up and bring them. I am giving away two nice Bibles to the one who brings the most visitors. A visitor is somebody who hasn't been in to church in a month. And so don't, you can't quit coming to church and then bring your family, all right? So, but anyway, that means they can't be here in the month of September. But anybody else you can bring and invite them to come. We'll have a meal. And Brother Miller, you'll get something from Brother Miller, I promise you. He's a good man, doing a great job in Colorado. And so you will enjoy that, and hopefully you'll learn and be blessed for that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And Brother Glore, will you ask the Lord to bless the offering, sir?
Thank you. spend the money as you see fit and for your honor, for your glory. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Couldn't have done that better myself. So let's all stand one more time. Turn to page 364. Page 364, Standing on the Promises. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one this morning. Page 364, Standing on the Promises.
standing on the promises of Christ my King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
All right, during this verse, all the kiddos from kindergarten to third grade, if you'll follow the Hestons back there, Brother Derek will have the class over there, but he's going to do the song. But if you wanted to go back there now, Kelsey, if your kids want to go, then they'll lead that. We'll have junior church for them as soon as Brother Derek gets done here. Last verse, ready?
Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing, I'm standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, I'm standing. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
The cross.
If you're here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
Glad to be here this morning, say amen.
Amen.
That's good. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you want to be here. Well, before I get started, I get a lot of flack for my bulletin. Oh, Pastor, you know you made this mistake. You know you said this. You know you said that. You know you made a mistake. Uh-huh. I just want to share with you some bulletin bloopers. Okay, really quick. I'm not the only one that does, and these are, they were put in there to be read, but probably didn't mean to be read like you read them. One of them says, the sermon this morning is Jesus walks on the water. The sermon tonight is searching for Jesus. Now see, potluck supper tonight at 5, prayer and medication will follow. Weight Watchers will meet at 7 p.m. Please use the large double doors at the entrance. That's bad. The Reverend Adams spoke briefly, much to the delight of the audience. See, that's just not right. A new loudspeaker system has been installed in the church. It was given by one of our members in honor of his wife. Now, see, that didn't mean that, but you think. I like this one. Applications are now being accepted for 2-year-old nursery workers. Low self-esteem support group will meet Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. Please use the back door. That's bad. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed the rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.C. Stubbs supplied our pulpit. That's wrong. And the one I like the best. Ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a good chance to get rid of things that are not working, that are not worth keeping around the house. Bring your husbands. So, see, I'm not the only one that does bloopers in bulletins. So, amen. Well, take your Bibles this morning, turn to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6, God is sufficient. And God, just that word, God is sufficient, but yet God's word is sufficient.
Amen.
How many of you like dealing with a liar? None of you?
No.
What's wrong? If they lie about one thing, can they be trusted on anything else they say? No. No. But God's word is sufficient. And I want to look at one verse and then we'll jump in. But a man's word is his bond. If you talk to somebody and they said, this is what I'm going to do, and then they don't do it, you're thinking several reasons. Sometimes it's an overlook, an oversight, which that happened here recently, and we were supposed to send some money, we didn't do it, and we're like, man, that's terrible. We need to get that sent. But we did not do it on purpose. And sometimes people say things and they never come through and you're like, okay, so if they tell you something else, are they going to do that? But you know, if God lied one time, then what would you do with your Bible? Probably put it aside. Because are you smart enough to know where he did lie and where he didn't lie? But you know, the Bible says God is sufficient because it's impossible for God to lie. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I like teasing. I like playing around with my kids. And sometimes they'll say, what are we going to do? And I'll say some ridiculous thing. And they'll go, really, Dad? And I'm like, no, I was just teasing, you know. But God can't do that. God doesn't do that. So Hebrews chapter 6, if you'll stand in reverence and love God's word, just want to read one verse, and then we'll go back and look at the context. But verse number 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. So it's impossible. It's not that he can't, not that he doesn't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Aren't you glad for that? Amen? I'm glad I serve a God and I'm glad I have a Bible. It could be the anchor of my soul. That's why I say we have an anchor steadfast and sure, and that is the Word of God.
Amen.
Because the Bible is not something that somebody came up with. Well, this is the thoughts that I think God has. No, these are the very words that God gave to men to pen in the Bible. It wasn't their thoughts. It wasn't what they thought. No, no. God said, this is what I want you to write. And God dictated to men to pen the Word of God. The Word of God is all Scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed out the words that you have in your King James Bible. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. God, help us just to trust in what you've said. God, help us to have the Word of God as an anchor, steadfast and sure for our soul in the hope that we have in you. Pray that you might bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We sang, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His Word." I'm glad I can take God at His Word. Glad I don't have to think and wonder. I wonder if this is going to come to pass. I wonder if this is true. No, every single word in the Word of God is true. Even the part that says Holy Bible. I believe this is a Holy Bible. It doesn't have any errors in it. It doesn't have any bad thing as far as evil things. I mean, this is God's Holy Word. Praise the Lord. Then it says, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. You know, our lives are built on promises. That's why I sang Standing on the Promises. Your life is built upon promises. I mean, I don't know anybody that gets paid. You go to work on Monday morning and they hand you a $500 check and said, here's your wages for this week because we know you're going to work this. No. After you work it, but you work all week because they promised you if you would work this many hours, they'd give you so much an hour. That's a promise from the corporation. You're not for sure. And hopefully they'll come to pass. You know, we'll pay you per dim, we'll pay you per mile, we'll pay you per hour, we'll pay you per item. That's a promise to you made by the company. That's a promise. When I got married, I made some promises to my wife. She made some promises to me that she would change the oil, mow the grass, you know, do stuff like that. But I made some vows to her. And to remind me of my vows, she put a ring on my finger and I put a ring on her finger. But we promised each other. I promised that I would love her and care for her and take care of her. And she'd be the only lady in my life for the rest of my life till death do us part. I made that promise to her. And she made that promise to me, to Mr. Wonderful. No. But we made some promises, some vows. We exchanged some vows. We said, this is what I promise you. This is what you promise me. And then they said, do you promise to solemnly live together as husband and wife? And we both said, I do. Or we do. I can't remember. It's been too long ago. But anyway. But it's promises. How about a contract? Contract. It's hard these days because, you know, they said you got to read the whole thing or the thing online. How many of you are liars when they said, have you read all the terms and agreements? Kiera? Okay, who can do? I looked at one the other day. It was 67 pages. And I'm like, how am I supposed to read 67 pages? And if I did read those 67 pages, would I even know what they meant by the terms here to the party accepted, the party represented? I'm like, ah, yes, I read it. But I mean, a contract is, here's what we're going to do for you, here's what you're going to do for us. That's a promise. You're making a promise, hey, we're going to provide this, and then you're going to provide this. How about a check? Of course, these kids don't know what a check is. It's a little thing that you write to. You could write to John Swope, J-O-N-S-W. No, anyway. And then the amount, and then you have to write out the amount, and then you put your signature at the bottom. That's a promise, and I'm giving you a piece of paper, but I promise you I'm going to give you this money out of my account, and I promise you the money is in my account, which sometimes it's not. We sold some puppies in Beeville. This lady gave us a $400 check. Cha-ching, let's go eat. Put the money in the bank. A few days later, the bank sent me a little letter and said there was no money in that account from where that check came from. Oh. But that check is a promise.
Here's what I promised to do for you. And you know, God's made us many promises. Standing on the promises. And I promise you, God's Word is sufficient. God's Word is sufficient. We can look back and we can say, God made some promises to the nation of Israel and to His people, and they've come to pass. Now this book is full of promises to us. And we don't have to wonder and go to sleep tonight. I wonder if God's going to come through on His end. No, God cannot lie, folks. That's what the Bible says. It's impossible for God to lie. Come here, Kevin. Last week he kind of ruined my illustration by being so strong, okay? Now what I want you to do is I want you to reach up and touch the ceiling. Just pull yourself up and touch the ceiling, okay? All right, go ahead. We can't wait all day. Huh? Yeah, just pull yourself up and touch the ceiling, right? Where the comes together. Okay, you ready? One, two, three.
It won't work that way.
You say you can't do it? You can't. Are you saying it's
impossible?
Oh, it's impossible! Thank you. We didn't rehearse this, did we?
No.
But he said the right words.
Yes.
It's impossible. You think I could do it?
No. Even your son is taller than you.
Kevin's taller than you.
It's not the tall, it's the ability and the legs. You don't think I could do it?
No.
You think it's impossible for me?
Yes.
You're right. It's not that he won't do it. It's not that he can't do it. It's impossible. Impossible. Now, if we got that little lift that we had that another preacher's barring it and pull it around and put him in it, he could touch the ceiling. But he would need some help. But it's impossible. Impossible for God to lie. So we must take him at his word. That's what faith is. I believe God. I believe in what He said. God's Word is, preacher, prove to me there is a God. How can I prove to you there's a God? I can have all the arguments in the world, but if you don't want to believe there's a God, then you're not going to believe there's a God. Well, you preacher, you prove to me that God did this and that Jesus died on the cross. I can't. I just know what the Bible says, and my job is to tell you what the Bible says. And you need to have faith in the Word of God. The Bible definition of faith, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what?
Not seen.
So I haven't seen it, but I believe it. I believe there's a New York City. Never seen it. I've never touched the Statue of Liberty. But I believe it because there are some people that have been there. I've seen some pictures. But pictures, I mean, you can Photoshop anything. I mean, my aunt put my mom and dad in front of the White House by the car, I think, by one of the presidents. And I'm like, they've never stood in front of the White House standing by the president of the United States. But she had a picture. And so, but yet I place my faith and trust in God. So I want to take a look at this. And verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. So I want to look at the context in this passage of Scripture. Why did God say that? I mean, in the surrounding verses, you can look back and we can see the context. Who wrote the book of Hebrews?
Da, 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 da.
Who might have had the opportunity to write the book of Hebrews? Paul. But it's not for sure. Don't split hairs or split the church, all right? But I believe there's some similarities in Paul's writing. But it's written to believers, to the Jews. And so Hebrews chapter 6, look back here in verse number 9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Accompany salvation. A lot of people say, well, I'm saved and I know it. I'm going to heaven. That's all there is. Really? There's things that belong to salvation. There's things that should accompany salvation, and that's our work and our love and our service to God.
Amen.
Well, if you don't do it, are you going to hell? No. God saves you by His blood. For by grace are you saved through faith. I'm saved eternally no matter what I do for the rest of my life. The thief got saved on the cross. He didn't get baptized. He didn't go to church. He didn't go to a synagogue. He didn't read the Bible. He died and went to paradise and then to heaven with the Lord because he accepted Christ as his personal Savior. But if you are saved, there are things that accompany, that belong to salvation, and that's our service for the Lord. Look down here. Verse 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of what? Of love. Well, what do you mean? Well, I love the Lord and I'm serving Him, but does it show? Which ye have showed towards His name in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You mean you do something for somebody. You mean you serve the Lord. I believe in reading your Bible, and I believe in praying, and I believe in coming to church, and I believe in sitting at the feet of Jesus, but our love for the Lord ought to be shown, and we ought to show that we love the Lord by our service. Look in 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Look over here just a few pages to the right. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go down in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother in need, have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. Okay, but your love, your salvation should be accompanied with our works and service for Him. Amen. How do we do that? To each other. To those in need. To somebody. He said, if you see somebody have need and you have the capability and you shut up your bowels of compassion, God bless you, brother. How's that going to help them? You minister to the saints. You serve the Lord. Service. And he says, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Got to serve the Lord. It's all about others. Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And so verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. This service, this ministering to others. He says, we beseech that you show this same diligence, he says, to the full assurance of hope. What's the last three words? Unto the what? End. What ends this life? Two things could possibly end this life. Number one, the rapture. Could take place at any time. Trumpet sound, shout rings out, come up hither. Those of us that are saved, we're snatched up. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. My dad said, I'll never wear shoes with ties. I want to slip because I don't want to have to stop and untie my shoes. Dad, you're not going to have to worry about that. You're going to be gone in the twinkling of an eye. But what's the second thing that could end this life here on earth? Passed away. Don Pylon's in heaven. 2 days before he passed away, was visiting him in the hospital there in St. Francis, Ascension. And he talked about, I'll see you in heaven. I'll see you in heaven. 2 days later, he passed away. His body shut down, and he exited that body and entered into eternity, entered into the presence of the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen? Why are you so excited? Because that's what God says. Well, are you sure? Do you have proof? No, I just believe God's word. And I'm happy. And I believe that when the shout rings out, the Bible says, them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with Him. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Amen. I believe that. So just keep doing it. Just keep serving God. Yeah, but my Bible says if I do this, this is what's going to happen. You got to have two things to receive the promise. Look in verse number 12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through what and what? Faith and inherit the promises. Guess what? Things don't, when there's a promise made by God, it doesn't, not all of them are immediate. Abraham is going to give us an example here of Abraham. Abraham was told in Genesis chapter 12, I'm going to bless your seed, and through all your seed, the whole world is going to be blessed. He said, you're going to raise seed through a son. It wasn't until 25 years later in Genesis chapter 22 that Isaac was born. Abraham had to wait 25 years. But he inherited the promise. God's word came true. David was anointed king with the seven brothers. He didn't become king for another 7 years, I believe. He had to wait. He had to endure. He had to go through. Yes, it was promised. Hey, you're going to be the next king of Israel. And that's why I believe that when Saul was after his life, and when Saul, if Saul would have caught him, he would have killed him. And all the javelins thrown at David. And then Abigail says, hey, David, we know you're promised to be the next king. Don't mar your reputation. He knew, hey, you're promised to be the next king, but it's not going to be today or tomorrow. It's going to be 7 years down the line. And so you and I must, by patience, faith and patience, inherit the promise until the end. But look in verse 13. He gives us an example. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater than he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. The promised son. Not Ishmael through Hagar. That's not, God didn't say, I'm going to bring it through your maid. I'm going to bring it through Sarah, your wife. There's only one problem. She was 90 years old. I don't know very many 90-year-olds that have children. And she started laughing. Am I at this age going to have a child and my husband is 100 years old? But God's word came true. And they had a son. And so he said, and then it says, verse 16, for men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God's willing to show you, hey, I'm not going to lie. I cannot lie. God's willing to show you that. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. Man, there's some promises in the Word of God. Well, how do you know, preacher? You prove to me. You show me. You give me some proof. I can't, but I can tell you what God says. And I can tell you, He wrote the Bible. He gave us the Bible. And then He told us in here twice, it's impossible. God cannot. It's impossible for God to lie. So I think His Word is sufficient. I think if I'll just do what He says, I think if I'll just follow the principles found in God's Word, I'll be set, because He said, He gave us these promises, and He said, if you'll patiently endure and you'll have faith in these words, it will come to pass. But I love this in verse 17, show unto the heirs of promise. The heirs of promise. Well, my parents said, you know, if I just wait for God's will and, you know, I don't get involved sexually with any other man or woman, then I'll have a lot better life. And if I serve God and I don't drink and I don't smoke and I do all that, I have a better life. And I just don't know about that. Well, that's only because they're teaching you the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs, the way of the transgressor is hard. Not that God doesn't forgive. Not that you can't get right. Why don't you just stay right and you can avoid a lot of mess and trouble if we follow God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I tell my kids sometimes, guess what? I do know more than you do. And one of them, I won't mention his name. He says, huh? What? I don't know about that. I said, yeah. I said, me and my brother, we know everything. We know everything. I said, try me. He said, well, what's this times this? I said, well, that's what David knows, not what I know, you know. Anyway, but we don't know everything. I was just kidding. Don't be there. Pastor thinks, you know, I don't know everything. All right. So his word is sufficient. So quickly, I want to look at some promises found in God's word that I can't prove to you, but I just say you just need to believe it and do what he says because you'll obtain, inherit the promise. Well, but the Bible says this, and I did this, but there seems to be a setback, and I haven't got it yet. Abraham, 25 years. David, 7 years. Then he became king. Number one, of course, is salvation. How do you get to heaven? Only through Jesus Christ. Only through Jesus Christ. Went to the fair on Friday, took two of my kids, and one guy was, I know what he was selling. He was selling saunas. And I asked if I could, it was 140 degrees in there, and I asked if I could put Joseph in there and come back in the afternoon and get him. But the guy said right there, no one under the age of 21. I said, please, I'll give you some money. But wouldn't let me do it. But I gave him a track. I said, how to get to heaven from Kansas. Amen. And he looked at it, and we started talking. He says, well, I know what you're going to say. But he says, I'm in America, but I'm a Hindu. And I know you say that Jesus Christ is the only way. I know that. And I wasn't going to argue with him, but he says, you know, that's just not what I've been taught. And I said, yeah, well, it's not what you've been taught. I said, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Amen. And he says, well, I just wasn't raised that way. So I wasn't going to stand there and argue with him. But he's not willing to believe the Bible. He's willing to believe what somebody taught him as a kid. And your parents are not right about everything. And your parents could be dead wrong, especially if they go against what the Bible says. Right. And it's hard for you to say, well, you know, forget all your background. But I did tell him, you need to place your faith and trust in the Lord. Yeah. Jesus died to save you. And he said, I know what you're going to say. I know. But I was just raised differently. And that's sad. Because it doesn't matter. Some sincere people are going to go to hell because they believe somebody else or something else instead of placing their faith and trust in God's promises. Look in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13. Are you sure you have to have Jesus Christ? I mean, can't we believe in just God the Father and believe in a God and believe in a heaven and go to heaven? No, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12, he that hath the Son, that's capital S-O-N, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That's it right there. To be a soul winner, you don't have to know thousands of scriptures. Just that one scripture. How do you know, preacher, you're going to heaven? Because you were raised in church? No. Because you memorized scripture as a kid? No. Because your dad was a preacher? No. Because you're a Baptist? No. Because in 1985, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I invited Jesus in my heart, and I have the Son of God living in my heart. And now the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. I'm going to heaven because I got saved. Look in John chapter 3, verse 36. John chapter 3, verse number 36. The Bible says here, he that believeth on the Son, capital S-O-N, hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Folks, why do we hand out tracts? Why do we tell people? Why do we run buses? So that people can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven, not because of a Baptist church, not because of a church service, because Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood and rose again, and they can accept him as their personal Savior. Amen. And John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in John chapter 20, verse 30. Jesus Christ, God has done everything he can so that people can know how to go to heaven. John chapter 20, verse 30. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Verse 31. "But these are written," everything written in the Bible, "that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that ye, and that believing you might have life through his name." So my Bible says right there, the Son of God. Had a guy called me on Wednesday night, an hour before service. He knew some scriptures. And he started arguing with me about Jesus is not God. He's not the Son of God. I said, "He is." "No, it's not. Here's another scripture. Here's another scripture." I said, "I'm not going to argue with you. I can't prove to you. I'm just going to believe scriptures just like this, that they might, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." He was God. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ was Almighty God." The same characteristics, the same form, the same essence as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Quit using that word Trinity. It's not in the Bible." I said, "Yeah, but there's a three-part God." "You saying there's three gods?" I'm like, "Go find somebody else to pick on." I said, "I'm not going to argue with you. You're not going to change." "Well, quit preaching that." I said, "You go find your own church and you preach whatever you want in your own church." Sorry for venting. But anyway, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You can be saved, folks. You can know Jesus as your personal Savior. Well, does this God take notice in my heart and my life? I'm just one person out of 7 billion people in the world today. Does he know about me? Does he care about me and my day-to-day life? I think he does. Because my life's verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And I can quote it, but I don't want to get it wrong here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Amen. That's a promise. If I acknowledge God in all my ways, he will direct my path. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Look at Psalms chapter 37. Another promise you can cling to. Psalm 37, verse number 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." I think last week, me and Joseph, we had to get a part for our navigator, so we stopped by. We had to go into the Ford place, Mill Hamilton Ford, and there was a blue truck sitting there. I asked the church for a little advance pay so I can buy it. It's a Shelby. $136,000. I said, "Stand back, Joseph. Don't even touch the thing."
Did you take a picture?
I did. You can see it at church. My son's standing there. But I was teasing the guy. I said, "Do you have two of those? I'd buy them today." He said, "Yeah, we do." I said, never mind. $136,000. Of course, the Ford truck's worth it. But I mean, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires." Oh, man, I'm going to delight in the Lord, and I'm going to get that Shelby truck for Christmas. That's not what the Bible says. Because you know, if you delight yourself in the Lord, guess what? You'll find out that you won't need a bunch of the stuff of the world. Yeah. That's what that means. Oh, no, no, that God, no, God, it says right there, delight thyself, and he'll give you the desires of my heart. I desire money, I desire Shelby trucks, I desire this. No, 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 no. That's not what he's saying. You delight in him, and God said, all you need is me. You put your faith and trust in him and delight in him. The song says, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. That's true. That's true. How about James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8? Well, preacher, you know the old devil. He's pretty powerful. He's, you know, and he defeats a lot of people, and he's the god of this world. But my Bible says I can defeat the devil. I can resist the devil. Look in James chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Yes, the old devil's pretty powerful. The old devil's pretty sly. You can't beat a liar. Did you know that? I've watched enough Gunsmoke. But you can't beat a liar in cards unless you catch him cheating. But guess what? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The next verse, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Well, I've been wanting the Lord. I've been searching. I've been reading my Bible. I'm trying to draw nigh to God, but I just don't think he's near me. Then the Bible's a lie then. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you. I think the sin of mankind is pride. I think that's a universal sin of mankind. We don't want to be looked at like we don't have it all together, like we just, you know, not smart, or not, you know, we like appearances. We like to present a good image. That's pride. We don't do certain things because what will people think of me? Well, what if I do that? What will people think? It really doesn't matter. My Bible says, humble yourselves. In verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And I won't take time to read it, but you can read 1 Kings chapter 21. The most wicked king in the Old Testament, I believe, was King Ahab with his wife Jezebel. He sold himself to do wickedness. But the Bible says, because he humbleth himself before God. God said, I'm going to put your punishment and the things I was going to do, I'm not going to do it in your generation, I'm going to do it in your son's generation. That's amazing. The most wicked man alive. And God said, because you've humbled yourself before me. God's promises. How about give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Oh, preacher, if I just people give, then I would get. If I could get, I would give. That's not what God said. He says, you give and you'll get. But human nature? No, 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 no. I get, I give. I can't give unless I get. Well, God said, you give. And that's a way to get. Well, that may happen to other people. No, no, no. That's what the Bible says, folks. Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's a promise found in God's Word. And the last promise I see is 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. If we had to put up on a screen what I've done in my lifetime, people probably wouldn't want to shake my hand. You don't understand, preacher. How could God forgive me? My Bible says he does. If we confess our sins, that's our job. He is faithful and just. His word said, I'll forgive you. I'll not only forgive you, I'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That means I become clean. You ever had one of your kids take a shower and you're like, I don't see any soap. Did you? Oh, yeah, I took a shower. Yeah, I took a shower. What'd you use for soap? Huh? No, I took a shower, Dad. No. Where's the soap? You need the soap to make you clean. Okay. Soap. The blood of Lord Jesus Christ cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It's impossible for God to lie. I pray that you and I will just start reading our Bible more. Hey, this is what God said. I'm going to do that. I'm going to trust the Lord in that. Lord's sufficient. He gave me a Bible. Gave me only a book that you can read, I think, and if you read it all the way through, 74 hours or something like that, all the way from cover to cover. But take note, God's Word is sufficient. What He said, it's impossible for God to lie. Are you saved? I believe I'm saved only because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what God said. Well, you could lose it. No, I can't. Are you gonna sin and mess up? Sure. But my Bible says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. God promised me, He gave me eternal life. Are you saved this morning? Are you one that says, you know, I believe God. I'm gonna start doing what the Bible says. I'm gonna take God at His word and realize God's word is sufficient. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you this morning. Oh, dear Father, we love you. So thankful that you gave us a book that we can read, we can understand. God, we can apply to our lives. And there's blessings, there's benefits. God, you promised us so many things. And as Abraham, we can be inheritors of the promise. But God, we must have faith, we must have patience. As Abraham, you gave us the example. Abraham had to wait 25 years. For that promised son to be born. And yes, Isaac was born, son of Abraham and Sarah. And God, I pray that we might have patience and faith and belief in your word. Bless our invitation. I pray if there's any that are not saved this morning, dear Father, they've never trusted you as their Savior, God, that they might come and get saved. Some may have are living their life, but they really don't place much value and much faith and trust and have the Word of God as the anchor of their soul. God, I pray that they might do business with you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? I don't know what the need is on your heart. But as the piano begins to play and Brother Philip begins to sing, I challenge you to do business with the Lord. If you're not saved, you say, I'd like to go to heaven, but I'm not sure how. Preacher, just come forward and we'll show you from the Word of God how to get saved, how to know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Would you come this morning?
Have thine own way, Lord.
Have
thine own way.
Please don't leave
thou
lost.
Thou art the potter.
The Bible said in the Word, boast not thyself in tomorrow, for thou knowest not
I
what the day may bring
the
forth.
Clay.
You're not promised tomorrow.
Mold me and make me after thy will.
Does God really care?
I am waiting.
My Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth
and
for you.
Still.
Come this morning.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Are you saved? Remember a time and a place you accepted
Search
Christ
me
your personal
and
Savior?
Try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord. Wash me just
draw nigh
now.
To God. We'll draw nigh to you.
As in thy
presence, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you.
Humbly I bow.
It's not that easy, though.
Have thine own way.
Resist the devil sometimes means
Lord,
resisting the flesh.
Have thine own way.
Your flesh is not saved. Your
Wounded
flesh will not go to heaven.
Weary.
Your flesh is wicked and ungodly. It
Help
wants what
me,
it wants.
Help me, I pray.
Sometimes to resist the devil.
Power,
you have to say no to the flesh.
All power,
that's hard.
Surely is thine. touch me and heal me.
I'm going to sing one more verse this morning. Would you come?
Save your divine. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being.
God's not going to.
Absolute
it's impossible,
way,
literally impossible for God to lie.
Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me.
You say it quietly while these are still at the altar. Now, God's people said, we appreciate you being in the Lord's house this morning. We've got several, please get a bulletin on the back. There are some prayer requests there. Some are people that still need your prayers, definitely, so please remember them in prayer. Youth choir practice at 5. You having ladies choir? You having ladies practice at 5:30? Okay, ladies choir practice at 5:30. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock, for a Bible message. And this Wednesday, starting Patch Club back up for kindergarten through the 6th grade. Good Bible club there, and looking forward to that. And October's coming, October 1st, start with a bang. I challenge you to be here, invite somebody to come with you, Roundup Sunday. Brother Miller will do a great job, I know. So let's all stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. Thank you for being in the Lord's house. We have some visitors. Thank you for being here, and looking forward to the service tonight and the week. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to dismiss us in thy care. Brother Rowe, will you do that for us, please, sir?